Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai, and Onam greetings to our global listeners. Sai Ram and welcome to Thursday Live. You're tuned to Morning Glory on Radio Sai's Asia Stream, coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. This is your blissed out and Rishikesh returned host Karuna, and I'm exuberant to share with you on this show today some highlights of the recent historic events that took place in Rishikesh, Uttarakhand, on the 9th, 10th and 11th of September 2016. Meanwhile, I thank you for staying with us on this lovely Thursday morning, the 15th of September 2016. The time in the ashram right now is 9:40 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Actually, it's 9:42 a.m., I beg your pardon, Indian Standard Time. Prashanti Nilayam is charged with the energy of the recent Onam celebrations by the devotees from the South Indian state of Kerala. Their magnificent presentations were packed with love, talent, creativity, devotion for their Lord Sai. In case you have missed any of these programs, dear sisters and brothers, please do take a moment to enjoy them on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Radio Sai. Or at our website, radiosai.org. Please do look out for the typical Kerala-style decor outside the gates of Yajur Mandir, the residence of Bhagwan Baba. It was truly marvelous. And through the celebrations, the ashram continues to enjoy ideal weather conditions. The evenings and night time is pretty cool here, and what's adding to the blissful ambience of our ashram is this heady mix of regular Veda chanting, the melodious bhajans, the pleasant breeze, perfect, picture-perfect, comfortable temperatures, lush green parks, and happy faces everywhere. Current temperature in the ashram is barely 24 degrees Celsius. Last night's low was at 22 Celsius, and daytime high is barely 29 degrees Celsius. Believe it or not, we are experiencing hill station temperatures in Prashanti, minimum, maximum, both within 20 degrees, within 20s, minimum around 22, maximum around 29. Divine grace just blows in the pleasant breeze of this holy land, which incidentally is at present being ably served by Seva Dal volunteers from the Satya Sai Seva Organization of Maharashtra, who have recently taken over from the Seva Dals from Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh. And now, it's time for me to announce the power-packed program I have lined up for you on Morning Glory today. Up next, a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity. Under the spotlight today is Mr. Prem Kumar of Chennai. Today, I will play the first part of this two-part interview. Brother Prem Kumar is a senior devotee of Bhagwan with a very long and loving association with him. You're going to love his simplicity and humility, and I will bring you this conversation in the second half of Morning Glory. But first, let me share with you, dear sisters and brothers, why I am on such a high, where my mind goes into these brief periods of stillness and I experience a trance-like state of joy, and I can't stop smiling. Well, where do I begin? Last Thursday, when Morning Glory began, you remember I had to pre-record it. At that time, I was boarding the flight to Delhi, and from there I flew to Dehradun, and in the evening, I reached the Devabhumi Rishikesh in Uttarakhand. It was the best treat Bhagwan Baba has given me in a long, long time. Well, you see, I got to stay at the Satya Sai School of Rishikesh and witness and participate in the historic inauguration of the Sri Satya Sai Ghat at Rishikesh. And in the process, I experienced Vaikuntha or heaven without even having to die. And you have to take this very seriously, such a tall claim, because it's coming from me and I already live in heaven on earth. So for me to say that I experienced heavenly bliss elsewhere, well, how could I not? We were all at North Prashanti. That is the name of the Satya Sai Mandir at Rishikesh, which is located in a large estate that houses Bhagwan's prestigious school in Rishikesh. This is a beautiful residential school where 300 students, actually 300 boys, receive world-class education that combines academic excellence with character education. The premises also house Bhagwan's residence, where he stayed in person during his divine visit to Rishikesh in 1982. Personally for me, to step foot in the compound of Prashanti North was a blessing from highest heavens, and I will try my very best to tell you why. You see, Bhagwan Baba has visited Rishikesh thrice in person, in 1957, in 1961, and in 1982. At his divine command, his instruments, including Sri D.D. Guptaji and other members of the Sri Satya Sai Strait Trust, chose this property, which was a brand new house on the banks of the Holy Ganga, quite upstream. And they developed a fairly large estate around it, which now houses the reputed Satya Sai school, its hostel, as well as rooms for devotees, a beautiful mandir. Bhagwan's residence is located on the fringe of this property overlooking the sacred river Ganga. The entire compound is pretty enormous and is lush green with beautiful images and statues of divine forms such as Lord Krishna, Ganeshji, Hanumanji, Lord Shiva and such. To access the gate of the school, one has to reach a place called Lakshman Chowk. Lakshman Chowk is named after Lord Lakshmana, who was the younger brother of Lord Rama. Lot of historic implications there, which time does not permit to share with you. Finally, as we move from deep inside of the estate, where the school is located, towards Prashanti North or the Satya Sai Mandir, a Prashanti Nilayam-style Gopuram gate, painted in the Prashanti Nilayam signature pastel colors, opens up and it overlooks the sacred Ganga. From this gate, there is a short 90-second walk down the road with just one hairpin bend and is walkable. I said 90-second walk, not a drive, and we reach the top of the ghat where the steps begin. Now, recently, the government of Uttarakhand allocated this most picturesque ghat to the Sri Satya Sai State Trust of Uttarakhand and UP, Uttar Pradesh. Our ghat is 607 feet long riverside frontage. That would be 185 meters of Ganga Kinara that the government has offered to the Sai Trust. And it is exactly below our property that I just told you about. So it's our very own ghat right below our Satya Sai Mandir and our Satya Sai School of Rishikesh. Our ghat is located on the Tehri side of the Ganges River. The opposite side is called Pauri side. And we are on the Tehri side. And we are located next to a very famous landmark of Rishikesh, the Lakshman Jhula. Hence the Lakshman Chowk that leads to the gate of the school. The famous Lakshman Jhula is a pedestrian-only suspension bridge, and we are just a tiny bit upstream from this bridge. To put it into perspective for many of our listeners who may be familiar with Paramarth Niketan Ashram for its famous Ganga Aarti, well, we are located on the opposite bank of the Ganges, opposite from Paramarth Niketan, but about 1.5 kilometers upstream on the Ganges. So the Ganges River at our ghat is pristine, clean, untouched by any external source or water body like a tributary. Swami has planned it so perfectly. So on September 9th and 10th, there were grand celebrations by the Satya Sai State Trust of Uttarakhand and Uttar Pradesh and the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of the two states to inaugurate the ghat that is now called officially the Sri Satya Sai Ghat of Rishikesh. Truly a historic landmark it was. And the Sai family of Uttarakhand and Uttar Pradesh were fully backed by the entire Sai fraternity. Just to give you an idea, the Satya Sai Seva Organization of India was present in its full strength. All India President Mr. Nimish Pandya, National Vice President Sri N. Ramani, various state presidents, district presidents, Seva Dal from all over the country joined hands as one Sai family to make a grand success of this celestial event. Three members of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust also joined the celebrations. They are Justice Mishra, Mr. Naganand and Mr. Ratnakar. Representing the Sri Satya Sai International Organization was Dr. Narendra Reddy, who was accompanied by his wife, Mrs. Haima Reddy. The dynamic yet humble trustees of the Uttarakhand and Uttar Pradesh State Trust, headed by Sri Ravish Khanna, and the state president of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of the two states, Sri Rajiv Chopra, were ably assisted by many others who worked really hard to ensure that the inauguration of Bhagwan's divine ghat goes on in a manner befitting his glory. Now, let me try and describe to you what the scene was like. The river was flowing deep, silent. It had strong current, lot of whirlpools, absolutely silently in the background. It's very wide. It sort of comes from behind a bend of a mountain to where our ghat is located. It's around a corner. And as she comes down, the Ganges has this calming and intoxicating effect on the senses and the mind. She's clean. Her waters are ice cold, uncontaminated, and the current is really strong. And the steps that lead up to our ghat have a beautiful silver grill. And what I really loved was every block of grill has Swami's signature S engraved on it. Like the grills in the Satya Sai University in Prashanti Nilayam, all the fences have S, Sri Satya Sai. So too, all the grills on the ghat are very lovely and they have the S. And everything has the signature colors of Prashanti Nilayam. You feel you're in Prashanti Nilayam except by the Ganges. Now, because we are at a bend and across the river, there are these beautiful hills rising on all sides of this ghat. And we have a additional view. I think our perspective is wider because we are around the bend. So we see a lot of low hills on all sides, and all of them were covered with lush green vegetation. First of all, because they are forests. Secondly, it's monsoon season. So everything was fresh, beautiful shades of green. And there were these low clouds that were hanging and covering, creating this mystical feeling. There was mist, literally mist. And with the clouds hanging, the lush green forest and the Ganges flowing, it was just strikingly beautiful. It somehow had this effect to just calm the senses. All the chatter in the mind just paused or ceased. And everyone seemed so much at home there. Our entire compound is very beautiful, as I told you. It has many murtis inside of Shiva, of Krishna. But as you come down the ghat, at the Gopuram gate, at the fringe of the property, there is an enormous Lord Shiva. And he sits there meditating with a beautiful Ganges emerging from his matted locks. And as you come down the steps and you step on this ghat, the most beautiful image ever I have seen of a goddess enormous. I do not know the height. Maybe I'm guessing 30 feet. I do not know. I'm only guessing. Of Mother Ganga. She's painted so beautifully. She's so picturesque. She sits majestically and divinely on the ghat, on the banks of the river, blessing the devotees. That, I thought, was a masterpiece. And then there is also a beautiful statue of Lakshmi and Narayan on the ghat, on the Satyasai ghat. And not to mention a very special divine insignia that was installed and there on the ghat. And I will tell you about that in a bit. Now, can you imagine this atmosphere? And in this, imagine the Veda chanting, full-throated, by the group of people from Prashanthi Nilayam and India's Satyasai organization's hand-picked best Rudram chanters, chanting in one voice, accompanied by the 300 students of the Rishikesh school. The effect, it charged the atmosphere with this mystical, hypnotic energy. Personally for me, all memory ceased. Body consciousness just fell by the wayside. I wasn't feeling hot, cold, hungry. Just still and blissed out. It was that moment we talk about in books and rarely experience, just to be. It was just so perfect. You didn't want that moment to end. And the joy of being served by sevadals who were there serving because they were serving Swami. They were out in full strength. And as I told you, the Prashanthi Nilayam Veda chanters and the best Rudram chanters from rest of India, a total of 108. Plus 300 students of the school. Now, we also had amazing talent. We had a group from Haryana and Chandigarh who are singers. They had a presentation there. And the good thing about them is all of them are alumni of the Satyasai Balvikas program. And their program was called Swaranjali. We also had a group that was so warmly welcomed and loved. The Prashanti Mandir Bhajan singers who traveled all the way from Prashanti Nilayam to bring that, you know, that feeling that Swami was right there. We were all doing it in His divine presence. They were there. And of course, there were IT teams who were busy ensuring that the audio-visual feed is streamed live. And as you might have noticed, by the end of the program, 38,000 concurrent viewers were all engaged with us. And this was being watched in 69 different countries. Now, about the program. On day one, of course, we started from the top, from Satyasai Mandir, and these amazing Veda chants. Oh, first of all, they had these traditional musicians from, I think, Himachal Pradesh, and they were playing wonderful music, live music, and they led the procession, followed by the Veda chanters. Drums and big bugles, and all traditional Himachal music, followed by Veda chanting, about which I told you, full-throated, led by Ved Narayan sir and Veda chanters from Prashanthi Nilayam and all over India, gents and ladies, all dressed in yellow. And they came down to the ghat, and we began all the celebrations by first performing the very important Ganesh Homam. This is a yagna, and this yagna was dedicated to Lord Ganesha, the remover of all obstacles and the bestower of all success. On the second day, when the same Veda group came down, they led what is called a Sarvajanik Abhishekam. Ekadash Rudra Sarvajanik Abhishekam. So they chanted the Rudram 11 times. All these Veda chanters, people from Sikkim chanting perfect Rudram, from Delhi, from Himachal, from different parts of India. And we had an opportunity. Sarvajanik means open to all. So after the initial pujas were done, every participant, everybody who was present from anywhere had an opportunity to offer the sacred water of River Ganga on the Lingam and performed Abhishekam. The setting was simply out of this world. The sights I described, the river flowing in the background, lush green rolling hills, clouds hanging low, breeze coming from the river, the sounds, Veda chanting. Actions, we were performing yagnas and abhishekams. And we felt that everything was charged with the presence of devis and devtas and divine beings. Every moment, dear listeners, felt celestial. Swami has said God is present everywhere. But in some places, every grain of sand and soil is saturated with God's presence. And he said, such places include Kashi, Haridwar and Rishikesh. I simply cannot tell you how true that rang for all of us who were present there. On day two, I have attended Nagar Sankirtan since my childhood, but I attended the best Nagar Sankirtan ever of my life because we started at Satya Sai Mandir at Prashanti North and we sang bhajans and went across the famous Lakshman Jula singing Nagar Sankirtan to the other side of the Ganga River, and then we circled a local chalk there and then we came back and re-entered from the Lakshman chalk leading to the gate of the school. Now, it was early in the morning. The breeze from the river was simply cool and refreshing. And as we stepped into the jhula, I remember distinctly we were singing Manas Bhajare Guru Charanam. And we were loudly going, Guru Maharaj, Guru Jai Jai, Sai Nath Sadguru Jai Jai. The second bhajan was a Rama bhajan. And above this bridge, which is a suspension bridge, on one of the steel wires, a big monkey was hanging upside down like a bat. And he was turning his head down to look at us. And as we sang Rama, Sri Rama, Sai Rama, he started swinging with the rhythm of the Rama bhajan. It was like we were transported in time. What was that monkey's association with us and how he participated so wholeheartedly in our Nagar Sankirtan? And I found it surprising that, pleasantly surprising actually, that a lot of local people and a lot of Westerners, foreigners who were there in Rishikesh, they were extremely respectful of our Nagar Sankirtan and they stood by the side, and a lot of young children were leaving for school, early morning buses to catch, and their chaperones, they were really full of admiration for this discipline of the Satya Sai group, you know, ladies and gents walking in their own individual lines in an orderly manner, no shoving, no pushing, and we were singing and playing the duffli, and that Nagar Sankirtan was so memorable with the Ganges. The river has this effect. It is not like any other river. She is so special. Well, that was one great highlight. And another highlight that I want to share with you is on day two, Bhagwan's divine padukas were installed on the banks of the Ganges River. They have constructed an area, demarcated an area with a beautiful marble temple in which the padukas made of pure marble, white marble, were installed and is surrounded only by grill, which means if the river rises, she can enter the temple and touch the lotus feet. So these padukas have a very special story about them. They're made of one piece of huge marble block with the lotus at the bottom, very well chiseled and carved, pure white marble. On top, what looks like a beautiful plate. In the plate are the lotus feet of the Lord. And guess what? Swami Bhagwan himself had ordered these padukas and many such items. It is said up about 30 to 40 years ago. This is what Mr. Ramney told us, the national vice president. And Bhagwan had kept them in the mandir in Prashanti Nilayam behind the altar. You know, the big altar inside the prayer hall with Swami's big pictures and Shirdi Baba's big picture. Somewhere behind it, Swami had kept these items and let them just be. And for the last four decades or so, every morning, the Omkar, the Suprabhatam, the special pujas, the yagnas, the twice a day Vedam, twice a day Bhajan, three times a day Aartis, all that energies these padukas had absorbed. And then Swami planted this thought in the minds of those who were organizing the event that we should have these padukas for the divine river to touch sometimes, because she cleanses all of us and removes our sins. Perhaps she needs to have an opportunity to seek blessings herself. So when this idea was presented to the Central Trust readily agreed and decided to send these padukas to Rishikesh. These padukas weigh about 75 kilos. They're beautiful and they are charged with energy. You touch them and you can feel that. So these were placed first in the Satya Sai Mandir till the perfect moment came when they were carried by the trustees, by the office bearers, together because they're heavy, and installed with due ceremony, with Veda chanting on the banks of the river so that they bless the river. Now, there's a side story to it. Many, many decades ago, there was another pair of padukas that Bhagwan had ordered, and those padukas Bhagwan sent with Professor N. Kasturi to a special place near Mysore in the Mandya district. The place is called Sri Rangapatna, and there the sacred river Kaveri flows. And Swami had advised Sri Kasturi to have that particular pair of stone padukas installed on the banks of the Kaveri River. I have visited that spot several times in the recent past, and also when I was maybe about 30 years ago also, and also recently about 3 times. Now, every time the Kaveri rises, the water level of the river Kaveri rise, she gets to touch these padukas. So wherever these divine rivers flow, even they crave for the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, and now it's going to happen at the Ganges. Now, during the opening ceremonies, there were several important announcements that were made by Sri Ravish Khanna, and he's the convener of the Satya Sai Trust of Uttarakhand and Uttar Pradesh, and I want to share some of them with you. You know, Mr. Nimish Pandya, the All India President, has told us that his organization has made a determination to commemorate every spot in India where Bhagwan visited in person during his avatarhood. In this connection, in Uttarakhand, the state organization has decided and the state trust have decided that they should have something to commemorate Bhagwan's visit to Badrinath also. And Mr. Ravish Khanna told us that this ghat was Swami's gift to all of them. It was a desire in their heart, and how Swami used his own devotees as instruments to make it happen. One such devotee is a young gentleman. His name is Sri Pradeep Batra, and he's a member of the local legislative assembly and a minister in the government of Uttarakhand. He was instrumental in ensuring that our application for this ghat is processed very promptly. And then they decided, what are we going to do about Badrinath now that we have a ghat here? And Brother Ravish Khanna shared this account that Sri Pradeep Batra, the MLA, the minister, he met with the Mahatma who lives in the forest of Rishikesh, and he told him that he had an ashram in Badrinath, and he was a devotee of Bhagwan Baba, and he wanted to bequeath that ashram to the Satya Sai organization, the Satya Sai Trust, so that Bhagwan's visit to Badrinath could be, that his ashram could be used to commemorate Bhagwan's visit to Badrinath. So as we were listening to all this, we were just spellbound how Swami has planned every step of his avataric mission. In hindsight, all the dots connect, but at that time we don't know. And what we are seeing now is only the tip of the iceberg. How deep, how big is this entire phenomena? I don't think one lifetime is enough to even grapple it or grasp it with our limited intelligence. So I just wanted to share that with you. And they want to have a spot to commemorate Bhagwan's visit in Badrinath, as well as a ghat in Kashi, which is Benares. Now, with regards to some of the wonderful presentations that we saw, the students and the teachers of the Rishikesh school presented an amazing drama about Ganga Maa. The music, the dialogue, the acting, the costumes, the makeup, everything. Against the background of the river flowing at night, it was just spellbinding. And really, we were full of admiration for the teachers, Madhulika Madam and the principal sir and his humility, and everybody who had put in so much effort. The children were marvelous. Many of them wanted to become my friends on Facebook. So I was so buoyed that they are interested in connecting with somebody from Prashanthi Nilayam. Now, apart from that, the other thing that we admired about the children is they started doing Ganga Aarti there. And you know, Ganga Aarti is a very special ritual. It is synchronized Aarti done with special steps, with holding very huge Aarti cups. So the students had practiced that, and they wore their orange and orange Vedam dresses, and they stood on the ghat and they performed their Ganga Aarti, followed by Satya Sai Aarti every evening. It was a sight for gods to behold, really. And then, of course, I told you about the Swaranjali group, ex-Balvika students from Haryana and Chandigarh, who presented beautiful music. And on the final day, there was a very nice concert by Sri Anoop Jalota and party. His musicians were out of this world. But I have to mention one thing. The main highlight of the entire event were the 3 presentations, musical presentations, by the members of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. they were the chosen instruments who made us taste Bhagwan's divine bliss, pure, unadulterated Anandam through their offerings. The first day in the evening, they sang beautiful Prashanti Nilayam bhajans, and they ended with the medley. You know, medley is like a mocktail of bhajans, very fast, quick, short pieces of different bhajans, but the theme was Ganga. So every bhajan had Ganga Jatadhar and Ganga Dara Har, Ganga Dara Har, those kind of bhajans, everything was about Ganga. Sitting on the banks of Ganga and singing them with gusto with the singers of Prashanti Nilayam, ecstasy, pure ecstasy. And the next day in the morning, they sang beautiful bhajans, and again, all the best singers were there, fantastic music, and at the end there was a medley. And guess what was the theme of this medley? Rishikesha. Hey Rishikesha Hridaya Nivasa, Rishikesha Narayana, all Rishikesha bhajan, singing in Rishikesha, thinking of Swami and going crazy with joy. Now, of course, I must mention there was a group from Prashanti Nilayam, you know, when they began the bhajan, Brother Ravi Teja played the flute, and Brother Ravi's flute was so melodious, it was in sync with the gentle waves of the Ganges. Oh my God. And then there was Satya sir on the harmonium, Narsim Rao sir, and Jagdish Kanadia sir, and Brother B. Shiv Kumar on the percussion, Anirudh from Radio Sai on keyboard, and the singers included Anirudh, Ashwath, Ame Deshpande, Siddhartha Raju, Anand Parshuram, and Brother S. Ravi Kumar. What surprised the gathering was that all of them are highly qualified professionals and alumni of the Sai University. And some of them are managers in the hospital, others work for the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh, others work for the university or the higher secondary school. Yet their musical abilities, their discipline, and their strong element or this bhava of devotional feelings made their music a cut above everyone else's. You know, when they were singing in the daytime, there was a blazing sun in the portion because we had several areas to sit which were covered, but the area in front of the stage did not have much of a cover, but the devotees were so enjoying the bhajan that nobody cared for the sun or for the rain. And in the evening concert, Brother Ravi was singing a bhajan, Hey Shivashankar, Hey Karunakar. It's a Rajan Sajan Mishra song from Sursangam. And there is he was singing in a state of like total trance with his eyes closed with all his feelings. And there was a line where he sang, Prem Gatha Barsao or something, you know, let the shower of your love, a downpour of your love come on to me. At that time, as though in sync with the music, there was a thunder and a huge downpour, and it mashed the music and the rhythm. And you know, people loved it so much that they didn't even want to move from the rain. No one minded that getting drenched for a few minutes. It wasn't a big deal. And later when I was talking to all the devotees who had come from different parts, they said, oh, we are so glad we made it. And some of the comments I got from the participants were, Swami ke students ne to pagal kar diya, Swami samne prakat ho gaye. They said they drove us insane because they could feel Swami's presence right in front of them and that their heart chakra was bursting with divine ecstasy. Now, I'm giving you so much of a rundown, and obviously you would rather not listen to me but watch the video links and the picture and hear the sound bites of the concerts. As and when everything becomes available, I shall keep you posted on Morning Glory over the next few weeks, and we will send out emails and post it on our Facebook page so that everybody can enjoy virtually those who missed the concert, missed the homam and the Linga Abhishekam. You can also watch it, and as did the 38,000 concurrent users in 69 countries around the world when this program was going on. So stay tuned to Morning Glory, and I shall keep you updated, and that's my promise to you. Now, one thing that I noticed was that the Satya Sai name is such a big brand in Rishikesh that everybody in that town was cooperating. So much so, all the ashrams that are on the opposite ghat of the Ganga from us, they switched off their PA systems and they performed their aartis without the PA systems so that they could all enjoy the wonderful divine sounds emanating from the Satya Sai Ghat over the 3 days that we were there. And every ghat, every ashram and every sadhu and sage hidden in the caves and temples of the deep forest of Rishikesh were thrilled at the Vedam chanting, the bhajan singing, the concerts that came from this ghat, and the two aartis, the Ganga aarti as well as the Satyasai aarti. Now with that, I hope I have built up your appetite to visit Rishikesh, and if you need company, I am always ready. I could take, in a jiffy, I could go back and relive the experience, although I don't think it can be replicated. Those days were so divine, so blissful, that we can just go back in memory and relive them and feel so happy once again. With that, dear listeners, it is now time for me to play our feature presentation for the day, brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity. Today, I shall play part 1 and next week, same place, same time, part 2 of Tryst with Divinity with Sri Prem Kumar of Chennai. Have a listen, please, and I will look forward to your feedback to the Rishikesh recall as well as this episode of Tryst with Divinity. With that, I bid you Sai Ram and I leave you to enjoy Tryst with Divinity with Sri Prem Kumar of Chennai. Jai Sai Ram. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity on Radio Sai. It was in the year 1952 that a 10-year-old Mr. Prem Kumar of Chennai met Bhagwan Baba for the first time. Since that day, till the time of this recording on June the 18th, 2016, Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba has been his personal God, guide and friend. Close encounters with the Divine, infinite interactions with Him, and numerous instances of His grace all throughout His life are some of Mr. Prem Kumar's most cherished treasures in life. And today, we hope he can go down memory lane and share some of them with Radio Sai listeners. With much eagerness, I welcome Mr. Prem Kumar of Chennai to this episode of Tryst with Divinity. Sai Ram, sir, Sai, and a very warm welcome to Radio Sai.
I am blessed by the Bhagwan to be here on this very auspicious day, madam. And I am very happy and also in my life. I thank you for the opportunity given.
Oh, we're delighted. I believe you were barely in 1952, you were 10 years old when God incarnate came into your life, and He continued to be your best friend, your God, your guide that, throughout life.
It is true, madam. See, in 1952, I came to Puttaparthi along with my family, and first saw family of Bhagwan in somewhere the Karnataka police. Karnataka Nagapalli.
The nearby village across the bridge.
Yes. Because we came by car, by Mudigubba, Kadiri Mudigubba route.
Yes.
So that we just, he was there.
What was he doing in?
He was there visiting some people.
Okay.
The first time I saw, he actually, what is called, by the wave of his hand, no? The miracle hand, no? He had created Vibhuti and distributed the Vibhuti to everybody there.
So he was hardly in his 20s at
26
that time.
Years must 26 be. 26 years must be. It was a very young, very beautiful apparition. Nobody would have seen that thing. I was lucky to have, we were lucky actually to have seen that.
Do you remember what he was wearing?
Completely forgotten, madam. Maybe orange maybe.
Robe or dhoti?
Robe, no dhoti.
Robe already.
Robe already. Okay. And he created that. He said, you have come by this car. And we came by two cars, you know. One was a small old car and one was a big car. The moment he said that car axle broke down, how come you came this by a car from Madras to this place, he said.
Okay.
And that the moment he said
the axle broke,
he said, he was laughing at it. Mm-hmm. And then while returning, we had to tie ropes and all and tow it down to from our relative.
Mm-hmm.
Our car was a very good car. And that was that. And the moment I saw him, I thought he is the actual, although I was 10 years old, I thought he must be the supreme. I do not know. I have not seen anybody supreme celestial listings and all that. And
what was it about him that won you so quickly?
The face.
The face.
Face.
What about the face?
I would say that magnetic attraction was there. I mean, Bhagwan used to tell later on that this is a divine magnet. He used to tell others.
Akarshana.
In Telugu, Akarshana. Daiva Akarshana. And I was not into the doing pujas and all that. Yes, Jaisamas, Namaskaram, and then they go to school and like that. After us, in 1956, our people asked him to grace our house. He said, "Yeah, I will come. I will come." And he did not come for 4 years. And suddenly, on a day, a very inauspicious day, that too, 1956, a call came from Bhagwan. He said, "I am Baba speaking. Can I come to your house?"
Oh.
He said, "What is this, Swami? Can I come? You are asking. You are welcome most. No, no. This today is a very sad day for you," said. "No, no, no.
Why was it a sad day?"
May I tell that that day our grandmother passed away.
Oh, I see.
And after we came from that
burial,
cremation, and that, he said in the evening of 2 o'clock, he said, "Afternoon, may I come?" He said, "What is this, Swami?" "No, no, no. And it's not that. You are coming. You have to visit us." And then he came. He said, "No fuss to be made. Nobody should be told that I am coming." But the thing is, our people cleaned the house and then actually made some arrangements for a flower guy, this thing, and the toranas, they say that. Auspicious this thing, and people got sent a fit.
So just those floral decorations over the door. So people noticed there's some celebration, something special is going on.
In the morning there was something.
There was a funeral in the morning and a celebration in the evening. You were confusing your neighbors.
No, they thought that something is happening with them. People started gathering. And then when Swami came with his Studebaker car, that was a very big car, 20 feet car and all that. Ours was a small, single road house.
Okay.
Car house, big house. And then our car was parked on the other side.
Okay.
Swami had the affectional love to alight from the car,
walked
on the road street. Ardell Street, and he came while he was climbing up the stairs first floor. We arranged. He said, "Why have I made this much of fun? No, I wanted nothing to be like that." And he said, "No, Swami, we did not tell anybody. They must have known something." No, very good. And then he sat in a chair for 10 minutes about he was there. And then
you must have the sorrow and the pain must have just disappeared.
No. When we saw him, that's all. No sorrow, no, that.
Nothing.
when the Lord incarnation is there with us, and this may be due to in our Vedic this thing, some result of some karma, good karma, something like that. I do not know all those things. It may be. And then he came to our this thing, and "Where is your office room?" he asked. And we showed that off. My uncle showed that office.
The handloom business that you were exporting handlooms.
Handloom business, yes. And he just sat down. He has a very sort of what's called a letter pad.
Uh-huh.
And then letter pad, he just took the pen and said, he wrote a small poem, blessing us.
Uh-huh.
Blessing particularly my uncle, because Swami knew that my uncle may not be actually following him throughout.
Uh-huh.
That may be, I do not know. But he said, "That's a very good job, this thing. Read it in Telugu?"
Yes. And then tell us the meaning in English.
Sri Puttaparthi Nelayudu, Kapaduna Indunapudu Karuna Karudu, Ye Patuna Maruakunda Yerugum Radha. Radhakrishna was the name of my uncle. See, that is, the Puttaparthi Nelayudu means Puttaparthi, the body living in Puttaparthi will ever bless you. Do not forget at any time.
Mm-hmm.
That was the
gist. What a reassurance.
Later on, something happened and they were not coming to this place at all for more than 20 years.
Uncle's family.
This thing, I do not know. And he knows. Mm-hmm. He knows everything. And but Swami, my father's name was Ramayya. My uncle's name was Radhakrishnaya. But Swami used to call both as Radharam.
Radharam. He had one common combined name.
Yes, Radharam.
Radharam.
Whenever he sees my father, he said Radharam.
Uh-huh.
And whenever he sees my uncle, Radharam.
Uh-huh.
So my father was very, very closely attached to him. He will go upstairs and there will be some fruits and all that. No? Some people will have gone. No? Said, "Swami, are you going to eat this much of fruits? I will take it." Then Swami used to just locally tell him, "You are a prasada bhaktudu." That means only prasadam.
Prasadam.
"No, Swami, you are not eating all these things, so we will take."
Uh-huh.
There are instances, madam. Very good instances.
Please share.
Whenever we come,
yes,
along with our family, we used to bring all the provisions and all that.
Groceries, rice, oil,
rice, everything.
Salt, sugar.
And you will say, oh, you come in wagon loads, sir. Where do you, where can you stay? And then he just thought for a moment. He is called Kittappa. Kittappa, you know? Uncle's son.
Son, yes.
Swami Kittappa, he said, take that car away from the shed. Car shed, here it was. Mm. And all these people to go there.
So you used to be lodged in the car shed. Because there was no accommodation here.
1957. And then when Swami was coming this way, eastwards, my mother was cooking, no? He actually came down one day.
Into the car shed.
Head, and pulled up, my folding chair was there. Pulled up and sat down beside my mother. She, because of reverence, no? She used to stand up. No, you are working. Do work. Then what are you doing? He asked. She told that some brinjal, the curry I am doing, I am preparing, Swami. No, give me something. No. He took the something and tasted it. Said, there is no adequate salt. Put adequate salt, otherwise your husband will bawl at you. We had that much of, no words to speak about it. And then Swami asked us to further. Canteen was started first. Canteen.
South Indian canteen.
Canteen, yes.
That was the first to be
first
started.
Said, Tadaram, the first utensils should be yours.
Utensils, so big pots and pans. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then he took that much of affection, love. He was having that much of affection. Must be grace of the God. And in 1957, I came to Swami along with my uncle. I wrote my SSLC exam and then came in. And
so grade 10 exam?
SSLC.
That is 12 or
10? 10th.
Grade
10. School finishing.
School finishing
exam. And then when we met Swami next day, I wanted Swami. Then my uncle told me, Swami, he has come particularly to have your blessing.
Before writing his exam?
After writing,
okay.
Yeah, after writing, when he saw that this fellow has passed, he said, he knows everything. And then, Swami asked me, you want it now? Yes, Swami, I want it now.
Your result?
Ashirvadam.
Ashirvadam.
Your result, he knows. Listen.
Blessings.
Blessings. And then, okay, he said, and then, where is the paper? See, I had that autograph, children used to have a farewell autograph,
yes.
No? I gave it to him. He went through all the students, this thing, headmasters, this thing, school teachers, class teachers, no? And then one paper was there, blank paper. And then what about pen, he said. And my uncle gave his pen, so a pelican pen, German, from Germany. And then he wrote a poem in Telugu. Blessing me, and that blessing, madam, is keeping me till today as what I am. He said, Ayur Arogya Ananda Alala Meda Jnana Vignana Vidyala Vidhilona Bhakti Vairagya Premala Batalona Perigi Peddayi Kirtini Pondavappa Sai Satkrupa Sarva Sampadala Nichu with blessings Sri Satya Sai Baba on the blissful waves of healthy longevity, on the road of good learning and wisdom, along the path of love, devotion and renunciation, grow up to attain exalted heights of approbation.
Oh.
Sai Satkrupa will give you everything in life with blessings of Sri Satya Sai Baba. This was in April 22, 1957.
Wow. And we are in on June 18th, 2016, and you say this blessing has stayed with you all your life.
Otherwise, I would not have been a person at all. That's my conviction. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking before you on this great hall. Before me is that blessing only.
In Dasami's divine presence, that's the most important.
Yes,
because he's always in the studio. I always feel his immediate experience.
That is the blessing. That blessing, I'm worshipping you today. I've kept that puja in that puja room. And that blessing only I'm worshipping.
Such a blessing.
And because it is from the Supreme Being.
Mm-hmm.
Not from a small guru or something like that.
Is right.
So I thought he must be our guru. And in 1960, that's a very big thing about Shiva Shakti and all that.
Please share with us in detail. That's when Bhagwan had a paralytic.
I have just written down also. Please. I'll read out.
Sure.
I came to Puttaparthi along with my relation.
This was for Shivratri of 1960.
Shivratri.
Mahashivratri.
At that time, Swami, it was told he was ill. But I did not consider it because we were in Parthi for a fortnight. I was there. I used to hear Swami's painful groanings at about 11 p.m. I used to go to the bedroom. He was upstairs. He was groaning with pain. At 11 o'clock, I used to hear about this. I said, why is this, Swami? Why are you doing this thing? Why are you suffering yourself for others constantly? And then I even told people that it was all, he was, since he is all-knowing, it must be somebody's illness. And then Swami sent word. Next day, you have to eat well. Then only I would have eaten.
He sent word to who?
To all the
devotees. All the devotees.
There were about so many people, about 5,000 people were there. Because Shivratri was approaching. You know, the Swami even told that we should all eat. And I was the number one fellow to eat well. Because I know Swami's, because Swami said to eat well, because there was nothing there in Puttaparthi in that place. Only one fellow was there, Prabhakaran was there with a small canteen. We used to order things and then get it prepared for us. And then in those days, for 1 week, we ate like gluttons. And then after four, he could not, 15 days was the time, but Swami could not wait for this devotee's pain. He said, I will give darshan. At the time, his left body was actually paralyzed, it seems. People asked, when the doctors were there, to go near him and then give some medication. He used to open his eyes and said, "This, you don't have sense."
So he would indicate by pointing to his head and say, "You don't have brains.
Yes.
You don't have sense."
Yes. Then people, when Swami said, I will give darshan in the hall, in the main hall.
Prayer hall.
Prayer hall. Somebody told him, asked him, how come Swami, we can take you down, how come you we could lift you up to that first room? He said, you don't have that sense.
No buddhi.
Buddhi ledu.
Not having common sense.
And then he was brought down.
So carried down.
Carried basically. Down by two people. Raja Reddy was there and Venkatamani sir was there. Mm-hmm. He was carried down. I was sitting in front of that room, front mm-hmm. veranda, first man, mm-hmm. one, two, three, center. When the door opened, Swami's left thing completely paralyzed and this thing, saliva oozing from.
So drooping
from the left side. Said, no, I could not see that side. I said, no, I went away. What is this, Swami? You are joking, all the people. No, you should not do that, and went away. And then he actually asked them to seat him in the chair. Mm-hmm. And they carried him, and all the pillows were.
Because he had to be propped up, because he couldn't sit up properly.
You are right. And then after some time, somebody was there. That circle was there, round circle, and the Padmam was there, no?
Yeah, with the Ganesha and the Ganesha middle of Prashanti Nirvan, yeah. Yes.
On that circle, I used to take a photograph in those days. Swami allowed us with a gun. He said, are you going to shoot birds? And I said, no, Swami, just a photograph. Then he allowed me on that circle.
What do you mean by the gun?
See, somebody brought some button hole gun, small guns. Uh-huh. When I was holding it, my uncle was actually taking photograph. Okay. Then Swami came and says, what Radharam, you are taking photographs of your boy? I stood up. No, sit down, take the photograph. And at that time it was there. Somebody was there, and the Shivratri day, no? Somebody was there sitting. Wildfire, word went out to the Penukonda, Swami is gone and he cannot talk, he cannot walk. Somebody was asking me. Before that, Swami asked somebody to get some water, this thing, and took some water with his right hand, sprinkled to his left body, his left body. And then with a jerk of his hand and leg, he stood up and then addressed Divyatma Swarupalara.
So much force.
Divyatma Swarupalara.
Embodiments of the divine
Atma. What a force. I said, everything cried, Jai Sairam, that day, in the evening. I should have come to them. First one is Sai Baba ki kalu padipoyindi, chetulu padipoyindi, noru padipoyindi. That is the word went around the world.
Saying what? If Sai Baba?
Sai Baba could not, he cannot talk.
Hmm.
He cannot walk. Sai Baba gone. Like that, it spread like wildfire.
Hmm.
Now, the same Sai Baba is with you, standing before you. Sir. Then afterwards, he gave his divine discourse for about 1 hour, madam.
And one of the most forceful discourses.
Force, beautiful.
So powerful.
It is Puranic times, he actually cited Puranic times. He said, when Bharadwaja, Rishi Bharadwaja, went to invite, it seems, Shiva Parvati to his yagna or something like that. It seems they were dancing. For 15 days they were dancing. 14th day or 15th day, it seems this Parvati just looked at Bharadwaja Rishi and just she smiled like that. Some smile to just make him angry. Then it seems Bharadwaja was about to curse them or something like that. Then both came down and it seems they said, no, this is a blessing for you only. In the most sacred yuga, Kali Yuga, we will both come down as Shiva Shakti and Parvati will suffer what you have suffered standing for 15 days. Parvati will suffer 15 days paralyzed. That is the connection he gave.
The left side left is the feminine
left,
side.
Left, left, feminine side. Well, Parvati will suffer and then Lord will recover again. And that is the Shiva Shakti. So I am Shiva Shakti, Swami said.
That's an important declaration.
I am Shiva Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, Swami came down to give darshan, Pada darshan. Those days he was giving because so many lesser people were there. Pada darshan was given. Left, everybody started doing namaskaram only to left foot because of Parvati and all that. And 1 or 2 days but the foot was inclined because the paralysis was there. Still, Bhagavan did not want others to suffer. Therefore, he suffered.
So he took on the illness of the devotee.
Yeah, that was meningitis, heart attack, paralysis and high fever. Like 4 Vedas.
Mm.
He took all this. I used to come, why is Swami all this? Why do you make others this thing? Why should you take these things? Madam, may I tell you, I have not read any scriptures. I do not have any knowledge of anything. But I know that he is the embodiment of the supreme being. You know, somehow or other. And he used to just pick me like this sometimes. Before others. Called the Donga.
Donga means a thief.
Thief. Now I would say, Swami, if you say Donga, everybody will be thinking that I am a Donga. No, it's a Bangar, you will say. Manchi Bangar, you will say. And, used to be a pinch and bring me from that end to this end.
Just along, in these terms of endearment.
I have enjoyed Bhagavan like anything. Whatever the sufferings in my life, I said,
when okay. You speak of sufferings,
I'll come to that, madam. See, I had some business, this thing.
You were taking care of the family's
everything. I'm the eldest son.
So you had to provide.
Now, my father broke down and the blood brothers broke down. That was the initially given by him in 1956.
Yes.
On that day. I said, oh, don't worry, I will look after that. And I started doing some business, export business. In that business, people let me down like anything. That was one instance. What shall I say? In 1965, when Swami saw me, in 1965 there was this thing. I came to Puttaparthi again. My grandmother, grandfather was here. My father's uncle. Then I came to see them. In those days, the renovation was being done for Dasara or something like that. And then in Sanatana Sarathi, that magazine, it was published, there will be no interviews from Swami and all that. I said, I am going. Swami Shudram, you will talk to me. Let me see. I came, my grandmother said, why did you come now? There is no interview done. No. I have come to talk to Swami. Let me see whether he talks to me or not. Then he's 65. And then after the bhajan, we were all standing out.
Mm-hmm.
Swami was passing from east to west to east room.
Okay.
He just stood at one point, saw directly Swami directly, eye to eye, and then he just gestured like this four.
He showed you four fingers.
Four, come, okay. Like that.
Four of you come.
No, four. At 4 o'clock.
Oh, at four o'clock you come in.
Okay. Like that. And then people gathered there, asked me, what is this sign? He said, Swami wanted me to meet him at 4 o'clock. Then I told my grandmother and grandfather, I'm going to talk to Swami. I could not wait for that time because there was nothing to do. So I took a book and went there in the veranda, sat there, just reading the book. At 2 o'clock or about, at about two, at 2 o'clock, Dr. Kasturi came down. Dr. Kasturi, first editor of that Sanatana Sarathi. And he said, no, you should not sit here. Swami may not like that. And I said, Swami wanted me here at 4 o'clock, but I could not wait. Then he said, no, you have to go. Okay, Tata. I used to call him Tata.
Grandfather.
Grandfather. Mm. Then I went away. At about 4 o'clock, there is a knock at my door. At the east present. That is the allotted place for us. And then I was drinking some coffee and all that. And then when I went, opened the door, Dr. Kasturi was there. He came gasping. Hey, Swami wants you down.
Mm-hmm.
No. Swami actually told him that there was that boy telling him that he will have tail pant. Go ask him to come to meet me. Then he came down and I said, I just. And then the people opened the door, the interview door, they allowed me. There were about 10 officers, something, officers, there were, it seems to 10 officers from Andhra Pradesh. And one German gentleman was there. And I was there. And so Swami, it took some time for Swami. I know Swami's this thing when he comes, and because when he comes, there will be a sort of effulgence and some aroma, beautiful aroma will there.
And that was they would just become so charged
with
some divine energy.
That's the thing. Nobody, those people who are officers, they did not know. The German fellow person was the first time, no? And I said, Swami is coming at all. And then he came. It was April, very hot that day. And he saw the fan, it was not to put on, switched on. Said, ask me, buddhi leda.
You don't have brains.
Brain? No, Swami. He said, fan, you should have put up the fan. What is this?
Put on the switch on
put
the
a
fan.
Switch on, switched on the fan. I said, I switched on the fan. And then there was a small chair for him. He just pushed the chair into a corner and just asked all to sit down. Then we sat. Swami was standing. I said, Swami, no, kucha. He sat before me.
In front of you on the floor?
No, front on the floor beside me.
Mm.
Bhagavan. Very, very beautiful feeling, that one. And then he said, you will not believe, madam. You will not believe. Created Vibhuti. By the way, of his hand.
Mm.
And then asked that gentleman to come. That is a German person. German person. They must have thought he's some mystic doing some miracles, magic. Mm. He said he was just not coming forth.
Mm.
Swami said, come. And he gave that vibhuti. He gave him and asked him to eat it. After he ate it, how is it? He said, very sweet, Swami. Okay, that's it. Then, again with the use of his hand, he created one visiting card of Swami, photo print.
I see.
Just, in those days, it was not immediate digital printing like that. It was a photo print. And then he called me, you take this. I just peeled it from his finger.
Oh.
Peeled it and showed it to that this fan to dry it up. There, Swami's profile was there. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, Prashanthi Nilayam, Anandpur, India. He asked me to give it to him. But gentlemen, all the other people asked.
So this card was somewhat wet when it
wet,
came
wet,
out.
Wet, I just peeled, madam, like that. You know I can feel that.
Mm.
That's peeled from his forefinger.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave it to him. And all the other officers asked Swami for us. They said, you are all our people. He is from somewhere far off land. He needs my introduction like that. Mm-hmm. Why do you want this thing? Then, okay. And then he just, I mean, what? And I said, no, Swami. And he again waved his hand. Just brought a chalk piece, madam.
Chalk?
Chalk piece.
Okay.
School teachers used to write on the blackboard. Blackboard, chalk piece. Chalk piece has come. Then he drew a square like that.
On the floor?
Four. 1, 2, 3, 4, he said. 1, 2, 3, 4. R-A-D-H-A, he's put up. R-A-D-H-A, Radha. He said, for this D-H-A, or there, A-D-H-A-R, Aadhar, is R-A-D-H-A, Radha. For this Dhar, that means earth. Aadhar, this is a pivotal, this thing is?
The foundation.
Foundation is Radha.
Radha, the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna.
And Radha was the aunt of Krishna, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna was 7 years old.
Yeah, she was an older person. Yes.
16 years girl.
Yeah.
Aunt.
Yes.
Because he was brought up in the Nanda's family. Yes. She was that.
Unlike how it is portrayed in movies.
That's very bad.
Radha was much older and she had very altruistic love for Krishna.
Yes.
And she epitomizes bhakti or devotion.
Yes, yes. Compassion.
Yeah.
This is a compassion, love.
Love.
Purest sense.
Yes.
Because he was her nephew.
Yeah.
Then he said, afterwards he said, when you dig at one place, you go 10 feet down for water. Water is not coming. So another, you come here.
Go to the next corner.
Another corner. You dig out. Another 10 feet. And you are not getting it failed. Again, your effort. So third, you are coming.
Hmm.
And then you dig 10 feet. It's a failure again.
Hmm.
Then this is the fourth thing. You dig it. And that is a failure. Fail again.
Hmm.
So, you have dug 4 times. And for the 10 is 40. If you dig at one place, 40 feet down, the water will come.
Mm.
That means, you should have faith like that.
And you should persist, not give up so easily.
Yes. You should have faith.
Mm.
Otherwise, you cannot get any result at all. Sir.
So, interesting that he materialized a piece of chalk and used the floor as a board. To teach you, to explain as
a
teacher.
And then he threw the chalk away. The chalk was there. Somebody took it.
Uh-huh.
And then after this thing, he gave a very important life secrets about that. This is secret of life I'm giving you. Only for you. There were about 5,000 people waiting outside in the hot sun. About 4 o'clock. 4:15 started the interview. Up to 6:15 it went on.
Do you remember any of those life secrets he taught you?
He said, whatever good you do, you forget it.
Okay.
Whatever bad others do, forget it.
So hard to do that though.
that's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I said, Swami, I don't know anything. No, you do it.
Mm. Uh-huh. So forget the good you have done to others, forget the bad others have done to you.
Manchi marchipo. Evaru chedda chestaru marchipo.
Both you should forget.
Mm-hmm. That will, then God will be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, just after the interview, and then I have given over all of you the life's message. Now I will give you something sweet for your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then he materialized. Something was doing, and I thought something he is going to give. Materialized and kept in his hand. And he said, wanted him, gentlemen, come. He was afraid of these things, So he said, he doesn't have.
So he pointed to his forehead and said, it's not in his destiny.
His destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Then all others were waiting, all officers. Mm-hmm. Said, come. He asked me, Rara, in a Rara, come. And hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Then with all the devotion, bhakti, and all this, because Bhagavan, no? Mm-hmm. You just kept this to this thing.
Palms in front
of me. Again, said, buddhi leda. Don't you have sense? There are 11-12 people. Just small thing, put two like this.
So you cupped both your hands side by side. To make a bigger
ball like thing.
Yeah.
But again, buddhi leda. I said, no, Swami, I don't have sense at all. Then I put it like that. For you, especially for you, I am materializing the best sweet in the world with all the best ingredients in the world. Laddu came, madam. Then the Tirupati laddu, you know,
huge and tasty, full of ghee and dry fruits.
Everything. Oh, it was hot, hot, hot like that. Just being made from the, this thing, taken from the, our utensil. Cooked utensil, cook oven. You know? And then, after that, he just gave small quantities to everybody. Bhagavan also ate something. And then I was giving some this for my grandparents. And they said, what are you doing? Avva, I told, for my grandmother I kept something. No, avva ledu, buva ledu. That means nothing like the avva. You eat it, he said.
Okay, it was meant for you and actually.
Uh-huh. Ate it and then with a handkerchief, I just wiped my hands. And then I saw the Bhagavan's hand. So I wanted to see whether ghee is there. He said, no ghee.
His hand was clean as ever.
No ghee. Oh, nothing. My God. And then this handkerchief I showed to my granny. This is the thing he gave. That the blood. After that, people wanted some interview, personal interview. And he said that before that, when he was talking in Telugu, he was talking in Telugu. And that gentleman may not know Telugu, German. And he said, somebody translated in English. And he was, he looked at me, do it. Swami, how can I translate for me? I do not know anything, Swami. No, you have to do it, he said. I hesitated because there are all the highest officers, it seems, big officers. They must be knowledgeable, very knowledgeable persons. I'm just something. He said, no, you are doing. Nenula? I am with you. Then I said, you are with me means I will talk. Since you are with me, I will talk. Then he spoke in Telugu. And I said, same was translated in English. And that too, even today I do not know how I translated Swami's Telugu speech on that day. And then all the people appreciated afterwards when they came out. You speak excellent English. No. I do not know anything. He does it, everything. I do not know. No. It's not, I won't even call surrender. Everything for him only. Mm-hmm. And then after that, people wanted interview. Swami, some people want. You also want interview. That's why you came here. That's why you came here. Mm-hmm. Then after the interview, German gentleman, interview was being carried on, going on, one by one. Gentleman came to me. He asked me, sir, can you be with me when Swami talks to me, gives me interview in Telugu and all that, so you can translate it in English. I told him, who do you think Swami is? He can talk to you in your language. Is it so? He said, yes, it is. He will talk to you in your language, not in his language. After that, he called me. Seeing me, he said, what suffering you have gone in life? Very bad, Ra. What suffering you have gone in life? You want to die? Don't you have sense? Am I not there? Don't you believe in me? Like that, he was asking me. I said, Swami, if I do not believe you, how could I come here? Mm-hmm. In single, I used to talk to him, Swami, in singular, this thing only.
Closeness.
In singular, this thing
only. But why did he say that? Did you want to die? Were you thinking on those terms? Were you so frustrated?
We were at, I were about to, in my war, there was one instance, we were about to hang down, suicide. At that time, he came in my dream, white robed. What is this nonsense you are doing? I am with you.
Why fear when I am here?
Yeah, Ashirvadam.
But is it because of business
setbacks? Business failures and all that. After the, in the interview also he asked me. Dream he clarified.
Yeah.
The moment he did it, next day, matters started getting relieved one by one.
Your business problems were sorting out.
Very slowly. Okay. And then I told my wife, Swami has appeared in my dream. He said, he scolded me actually. And he said, why should you take your life? I am there.
Uh-huh. Then, but in the interview room also, when he spoke to you,
he said, you are dying. What is this? No, Swami. No. Don't you believe me?
Yes.
If I don't believe you, why, how do you think why I am here? Ninnu nammapothe nenu ekkada enduku vastanu Swami antunna. Ninnu in the singular sense, just tense I was talking. Said, he just
held your face,
held
in
face,
his
hands, and then said, everything, I am there, don't worry. And the most in my life, the most thing, because I was frustrated and all that day, and he hugged me like everything. Mm-hmm. Bhagawan. He said, I am the entire thing, don't worry. I wept actually. I am not at all, what should I say? I am not bothered about to tell about my feelings that I wept. He said, no, I am everything. I will be with you. What do you want? He asked. Last question. I said, I don't want anything, Swami. I want your grace. So, I want your grace.
Why didn't you say, I want you to help me with my business?
No.
That was not worthy of asking.
Bhagawan. Mm-hmm. It was Bhagawan. Business, everything is man-made.
Mm-hmm.
Who should? I have suffered because of my own faults.
Mm-hmm.
Believing others.
Mm-hmm.
Why should
trusted others.
Why should I trust? Swami used to say, trust yourself, then trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you trust others?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Swami's words. No? That's the thing. And then he said, what do you want in this interview? Biggest interview in my life. I want your grace, Swami. I will be with you on all your sides always. Will that be okay? He said, that is enough for me. Even after that, I had to face some difficulties in life. But he was there. Each and every situation, he was there. He says, life is actually, you should have some difficulties. Pleasure is the interval between two pains, he used to say. No?
Mm.
You suffer for your own faults. You have suffered, then you will know what is what. And then I said, okay, after the interview, people came out, and then all people gathered for 2 hours, people were there sitting, and Swami went up. All the officers said, see, I'm a collector from this place. They were introducing. Oh, I did not know if these people are IAS officers. Said, I'm a small person from Madras. It was called Madras then, those days.
Chennai, yes.
And then they said, you talk excellently. Don't give me that credit. I'm just holding 1 degree from Madras University. I do not know anything. This everything Swami talks through me. Then when I went to my this thing, showed my handkerchief to my this thing, grandmother said, see, well, what about Lord Swami wanted me to eat myself? Okay, that's a praptam.
Your deservedness, you deserved it.
Yes,
so it was meant for you,
I guess. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And one of the instances, madam, I never used to believe doctors and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I had in my 1959, seems, I had some block here.
In your throat?
No. That's a saliva gland, you know.
Saliva gland.
Gland to that saliva duct.
Okay.
There was some phosphate formation. That this thing used to blow up like that, swelling.
Mm.
Yeah. And doctor said some phosphate, this thing should be there, growth, you know, that can be operated. I said, no, I will not believe you. When I go to Puttaparthi, I will ask my doctor.
Mm.
At that time, in 1959, when I came, I said, after interview, you were coming out, I forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
When I see Swami, I forget everything. Mm. No questions can be asked, nothing can be asked. After Swami opened his door, and I came out, then God remembered that. Swami, I told Swami, what he said, I showed this thing.
You pointed to your
pointed throat. This thing. I actually said, para!
Go away.
Para! What is that? What is that? And that para is that operation.
Okay. When he said it so sharply, the problem was gone.
Gone.
Uh-huh.
And after that, when I was traveling in bus in Madras, I was standing, there was no seat, no? Some pain was there in this proportion. Very excruciating, just like an operation being done like that. And then, oh God, just I shouted. And all the people were, what is this fellow shouting in the bus? And then, When I got down from the bus, it was just cutting something like that. And then I had to spit out something. That was a seed like this information came out.
Mm.
Without blood and all.
Some invisible hand was performing the surgery while you were standing in a busy, crowded bus.
Crowded place. Invisible hand is Bhagavan's hand.
Mm, of course.
I know, his hand. But after that, I just got it. It's like a seed of the orange, you know?
Uh-huh.
That big, no? Orange seed. Big.
That's
big,
what was blocking.
Blocking. Now it's not clear. And then I showed to my doctors. This is the thing. Then they broke it. It's a phosphate formation.
Mm.
So who did it? My doctor did it. I said.
My secret doctor. Yeah, Puttaparthi. Dr. Sai Baba.
He did without any expense.
And no surgical tools.
Even today, can you believe, madam? My life, right eye, is affected with cataract. Right eye.
Okay.
Doctor used to, that told me that you can let remove the operation. No. It is left to my Swami. Whether he wants it removed or not, he will know.
Mm-hmm.
He will remove it. One eye is okay for me. I can get on. Then the people also used to just jeer at me like that. Make fun of me. What is this? You can operate it and get it done. No. I'll never believe people. Though you may be FRCS, you have them surgeons and all that. Mm. For everything, I have not taken medicine, big medicines at all in my life, madam, so far. I am 73 plus. Because longevity has given me.
The blessing that
blessing
you wrote in the poem.
That is keeping me alert. And I am hale and healthy. I do all works and all
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. At 73, you look
73
really
plus.
Well.
Mm. But my hair is white, madam. People say, you are 73. No, what? No, I'm getting on like this. And that was one instance. And previously, my younger brother, he is nice. He retired as a lieutenant colonel in the army now.
Mm-hmm.
MD anesthesia. He is, mm-hmm. He is settled in Bombay, Panvel place. No? He was just 3 years old when we came here.
You were 10 and he was 3.
The 53. Because we were 6 people for my parents. 1, 2, 3 boys, 4, 5, 6 girls.
Okay.
Boys, in the interval is 4 years. girls interval is 3 years.
Okay.
So, I'm 42, another brother 46, and him, the third brother is a second doctor. He was 50.
Okay.
And then, he could not utter any word up to his second, third year.
Okay.
He was just dumb.
Speech impaired. No,
he was impaired. Dumb, really. He was, whatever it was, we asked, yeah. He said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years, boy, something should be, his speech should be speaking at least 1.5 years.
Amma, anything.
Amma, atta, something comes on. No? He could not. Then, when we were here, Swami was passing, and then dad told him, Swami, this is the fellow. He's a dumb fellow. Mm-hmm. Swami just looked at him like that. What is this? Then he went away. Afterwards, we were there staying in the Chinna Mandiram, that small, you know, Kalyana Mandapam. No? Those days, people used to stay only there.
Okay.
And then come to the Mandir here. And then one day, he took very ill, my brother. 3 days Swami was pausing and he did not at all. After bhajan, and he was pausing and he was just looking at and he was going. My father got irritated. What is this? Swami never looks at this boy and never says anything. Third day, Swami, what is this? Then again I laugh. Again I laugh and he goes away. After fourth day he came down to us. Then asked, what is this? Swami, 3 days he was suffering with all this this thing. Hey, high fever and loose motions and all that. He said, yeah. Now, what do you want me to do? He's suffering. Okay. He actually
waved his hand.
Got the vibhuti, full vibhuti. My brother was a dark fellow, dark skin fellow. Just smeared
on his body.
Entire body.
Mm-hmm.
He became white. With Abhishekam like that. And then he said, no, go. Next day, he started jumping and just, we had a car and he used to put gas and drive car like that. He used to drive out to Chitravati like that. After that second day, he started talking in syllables.
Oh, speech came back.
In syllables, not amma, atta, nothing like that. In syllables, couplets like that. Idi, ittu, bhumla, veste, mulchuna kada. That means, this seed, when you plant it in the earth, it will sprout. Is it not? He asked first question.
Oh, so he left the alphabet, went straight to big words.
Idi, ittu, bhumla, veste, mulchuna kada, telugulo. This seed,
if you plant it,
it will grow, is it not? He asked first question.
Wow.
He's now, MD, you know, he has got two children. One is a very, one Anand by name, and daughter, Supriya, Priya by name. Daughter is a psychiatrist. Anand is a very big employee of some big company. They are enjoying life like that. So, that is the, this thing, madam, Bhagwan's this thing, grace. And then, you know, on one occasion, he asked my father, when we were two only, myself and my brother, second brother, what do you want? He asked my father.
Mm-hmm.
My father just told him, Bhagwan, I don't want anything. My children should be all that, Bhagwan said. Mm-hmm. No, they will be all that, don't worry.
I see.
That is the blessing.
A big assurance to dad. Very distinguished father you had.
Yeah.
the late Sri K.C. Ramaiah.
K.C. Ramaiah.
I noticed in the bio, he had a brother, as of course he was exporting at those early years to U.S., U.K., Japan, Australia, West Indies. And also, was it your dad or grandfather who was the president of...
No, my mother's grandfather, Sir P.T. Thyagaraja Chetty.
Okay, Sir P.T. Thyagaraja Chetty. Yes. Your mother's grandfather was the first president of Madras.
Madras Corporation
and the president of Justice Party of India. And he was responsible for bringing the legislation for empowering women to vote.
Yes.
Wonderful, sir. Women's suffrage. Wonderful.
Yes. And after his name, we have a college there in Madras. And even his, Madras, have you been?
Yes, sir.
There's open building, corporation buildings next to Central Station.
Yes.
The center, there will be a white statue. That is Sir Thyagaraja Chetty.
Oh, that is your ancestor, Sir P.T. Thyagaraja Chetty. Wow, what an illustrious family background. And how nice that you all came to Bhagwan so early in life.
We're blessed.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.